We're able to see on the slide the title of our discourse. The title is Die Stimme for Jews. The history of the Bible students movement spans only the last 150 years. Compared to Christian history, this is a very small period of time. However, the influence of this movement on the deep understanding of biblical truth is huge. This movement played an even more significant role in emphasizing the present and the future role of the chosen nation, Israel. And this is a fact that is also recognized in Jewish and Christian groups. Let us quote two reviews of a book by David Horowitz entitled Pastor C.T. Russell and Early American Christian Zionists. First quotation is from Jean Kirkpatrick, former USA ambassador to United Nations and advisor to President Reagan. She said, "This is a fascinating account of a neglected man and a neglected chapter in the history of Zionism." David Horowitz's well-written book makes for extremely interesting reading. I definitely recommend it. A second quotation is from Benjamin Netanyahu, current Prime Minister of Israel. He said, "Horowitz has performed an excellent service in this restoring to public knowledge the history of this important Christian Zionist." We can see on this slide the title page of this book and also an article by Jean Kirkpatrick. Let us turn to the chronological history, showing the most important events of our movement over the last century and a half. Among those notable events, we observed that, like in 1879, the Watchtower magazine begins to be published. In 1886, The Divine Plan of Salvation is published, which starts the entire series of study in the scriptures. In 1905, daily food in form of the heavenly manna begins to be published. In 1910, Brother Pastor Russell delivers a speech to a Jewish audience in the New York Hippodrome. 1916, Brother Russell dies. But our attention is drawn to the year 1911. The most important event of that year was the publication of the newspaper entitled Die Stimme, published in the Yiddish language and intended for readers of the Jewish nation. And we wonder, of course, why did this newspaper, the Stimme, and the events associated with this publication were so significant that they were included in the chronological chart of the most important event of our movement in 1911. We'll explain this in several stages. To illustrate what the situation was in 1911 in terms of the Jewish cause and the activity of Pastor Russell, let us quote from a letter written to Pastor Russell by Brother H. Oleszynski. This letter is from Watchtower Tower, December 1911 edition. We read, "Dear Brother Russell, your favor of August 1st gladly receive. My visit to this place is at an end. The Lord knows best what results shall come from it. The truth is spread considerably over the country in many different ways. There is also a good deal of interest in present truth. But the Roman Catholics in general and Poles especially are very slow to join any Protestant congregation. Many are coming to the meeting and are circulating our literature, but they don't join the class. Some interest is manifested in Łódź. One of our brethren here in Warsaw doing culture work will go there to assist. Łódź is a large city, about 500,000. At the railroad station in Łódź, at the newspaper stand, we place Die Stimme. Many Jews coming and going to Russia and are buying and carrying the paper with them. Many Jews in Warsaw and small towns already know your name. All Jewish paper were writing articles pro and con, but most of them have the idea that the Stimme is a missionary paper. However, there is a good deal of interest all over the country among the Jews. That's from a reprint 4934. That's end of quotation. This letter from Brother Oleszyński to Brother Russell raises three points that need to be explained. Using our imagination, we can picture the Polish city of Łódź in 1911. The railway station is full of travelers from many parts of the Russian Empire. The Jews who are traveling are very disabled. Brother Oleszyński reports to Brother Rasu, to pastor, on his activity, writing about Polish cities like Warsaw and Łódź. He mentioned that he finds himself in Russia. That is because in 1911, this part of Poland had been under Russian rule for over 110 years. Moreover, the cities of Łódź and Warsaw were on the railroad road used by Jews to travel between Russia and Western Europe and beyond. Note that for European Jews at that time, the best and only occupation was trade. This job required journey. Brother Oleszyński was sent to work in this part of Europe. He knew the condition there perfectly and where the best place was to proclaim the truth in due season. It would have been hard to find a better place for his purpose. As we read, at the railroad station in Łódź, at the newspaper stand, we place the Stimme, many Jews coming and going to Russia, buying and carrying the paper with them. So that was point one of our explanation. Point two, we note that in the letter, the name the Stimme was used several times. This name is also the title of our discourse, of course. And as we said, in the Bible student movement, we noticed that the publication of this journal was the most important event of 1911. The name Die Stimme itself is not a Hebrew name. It comes from Yiddish and means the voice. Let's have a look at the history of Yiddish language. Those Jews who survived the Bar Kokhba uprising in 135 AD resettled in Europe, especially in northern Germany. they started to use a jargon mixing Hebrew and German. And that is how the Yiddish language was born. Additionally, elements of Slavic and Roman languages were added to this mixture. We note that the Jews at that time didn't use Latin alphabet that we use at the moment, which was widely used at the time of in Central and Western Europe. The Jews consider Latin letters to be something unclean or fake. Just would like to present a quotation from Britannica Encyclopedia, which says about Jewish language, about Yiddish language. Yiddish language is the language of the Central and Eastern Europe Jews and their descendants. Written in the Hebrew alphabet, it became one of the world's most widespread languages, appearing in most countries with a Jewish population by the 19th century. Along with Hebrew and Aramaic, it is one of the three major languages of Jewish history. Prior to the Holocaust, there were 11 to 13 million speakers of Yiddish among 17 million Jewish worldwide. 85% of approximately 6 million Jews who were killed in the Holocaust were Yiddish speakers. Where's the question? Why did Brother Russell, with the help of Brother Olszewski, publish in Poland and Europe publication in Yiddish, not in Polish, German, or other European language? We could say that Yiddish was the international language of Jews. So a Jew from Kiev, Warsaw, Hamburg, or New York could communicate in this language. This situation can be compared to the English language in our time. This information helps us to understand why Brother Russell published the Stimmi in Yiddish in 1911, because 85% of the world's Jewish could read and understand the contents of this magazine. In 1911, the Yiddish language was the best way to reach 12 million Jews. It was for them that the newspaper, the Stimmi, was intended in the language of the Jews of the world at that time. So that was point two of our explanation. Let's go to point three of our explanation about this letter from Brother Olszewski to Brother Russell. We will read again part of the article from reprint 4934. That's quotation. Many Jews in Warsaw and small town already know your name. All Jewish papers were writing articles pro and con, but most of them have the idea that the Stimmi is a missionary paper. However, there is a good deal of interest all over the country amongst the Jews. End of quotation. Considering that is the year 1911, we are astonished by this statement. Many Jews in Warsaw and small towns already know your name. The name of Brother Russell was well known among the Jews of Central Europe in 1911. We wonder how the teaching of Pastor Russell reached the Jews in 1911. To answer this question, we would like to see activities, Brother Russell activities before 1911. through some facts from studies in the scriptures, from Overton Monthly, from Journey to Jerusalem, and from Hippodrome speech by Brother Russell in 1910. First, we would like to have a look and study it in the scriptures. In 1886, Brother Russell started to publish this series of books. The second book, published in 1891, was titled The Time is at Hand, in which he presented prophecy pointing to the year 1914. In chapter 4, titled The Times of the Gentile, Brother Russell wrote about an important change in relation to God's chosen nation. The third book of this series was The Kingdom Come, from 1889. One of the chapters in volume 3 is titled The Restoration of Israel, in which Brother Russell wrote, "During the events of the Lord's Day, we should expect the reestablishment of the state of Israel in the land of Palestine." Brother Russell mentioned the restoration of Israel in the study in the scriptures in 1889, long before the slogan of Zionists appeared among the Jewish community, before Theodor Herzl appeared on the scene. 59 years before modern Israel was established in 1948. So, conclusion is that the volumes, especially volume 3, serve an introduction to the teaching, the prophecies about the rise of the state of Israel. So the teachings of this preacher could not escape the attention of the Jewish community at that time. We would like to now have a look at Brother Russell works through Overland Monthly. In 1909, Brother Russell took advantage of the Overland Monthly offer, and in February of that year, the first article in series entitled God's Program was published. The title of this article is Living and True God. From January 1910, the Overland Monthly began publishing 12 articles targeted toward Jews in the series God's Chosen Plan. God's Chosen People, sorry. You can see some of the titles here. Faith, the Foundation of Jewish Character. Zion is God's Call. The Great Day of Atonement. Should Jews and Christians unite? Israel, New Covenant. Here is a quotation from Article 11. The question, must Jews become Christian in order to return to divine favor? And Brother Russell says, the same scriptures which testify to their solidarity as the people inform us that they will become a nation at the close of this gospel age, when the set time for God to remember Zion shall come. St. Paul explicitly points out that divine favor will return to natural Israel just as soon as the call of this gospel age to the heavenly kingdom plus shall have reached fulfillment. So that's from Overman Monthly, page 113. So Brother Russell touched upon various biblical topics to encourage Jews to take very seriously the promises of God's work, many of which related to Jews' chosen nation. He saw that among the many prophetic fulfillments he expected in the end times, that there were also promises to restore God's favor to the Jewish, to the Jews. Basing this belief on many Old Testament prophecies, especially the book of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and other lesser prophets, the pastor foresaw the return of the Jewish people to the land of Israel from all countries where they were scattered. Now let's have a look at Brother Russell's journey to Jerusalem. The next significant step was a trip to Jerusalem in April 1909. It gave the pastor the opportunity to personally see places he had to this point only known through studying the Bible, such as Jericho, Bethlehem, or the Dead Sea area. Let us quote part of the sermon in Jerusalem. Quotation. Then we spoke more particularly to the Jews, using as our text the double mentioned by the prophet Jeremiah, Zechariah, and Isaiah, explaining how the double of Israel's experience would reach full accomplishment of 1915, and that their divine favor for Jews would be manifested, and subsequently all the gracious promises made to them would have fulfillment. We saw that the promises which belong to the church are spiritually and separate and distinct from those made to Abraham, the prophets, and Israel, but that the blessings of Israel are necessarily delayed until the promises made to spiritual Israel shall reach accomplishment, and that this would be fulfilled during the time of Israel's second experience or double. That was a quotation from reprint 4621. The pastor's speech in the ancient capital of the Jews echoed widely in the Jewish world. Upon his return to the United States, his articles in Overland Monthly produced increasing interest in the Jewish community in the United States at that time. Now let's have a look at the year 1910 and Brother Russell's speech in Hippodrome. Following articles in Overland Monthly created numerous discussions among the leadership of the American Jewish community. This speech in Jerusalem aroused so much interest among the Jews. The organizing committee of General Assembly of Jews invited the pastor to deliver a speech at such an assembly. This invitation was signed by many distinguished Hebrews from New York. We read, New York Jews, then over a million, were deeply interested in the various speeches of Pastor Russell and were glad to hear his view on Zionism. For near 2 hours, the speaker kept everyone in such attention that no one realized how fast time was passing, not even a speaker himself. The audience was so pleased that they repeatedly interrupted Russell's speech with loud applause and shouts. Loud applause at the end was drowned out by the choir singing the song Atatikva. For the vast majority of Jews, then in the audience at the Hippodrome, it was a great surprise to hear from the mouth of a famous Christian pastor words that confirm the truth of the Jewish faith. What were the results of this address to the Jews in New York? Let's read another statement. In 1910, over 1,000 different newspapers published weekly sermons from the pastor in the United States and Canada. Their circulation ranged from 2,500 to up to 300,000 copies for one edition. It was estimated that the truth reached at least 10 million homes in this way. The effectiveness of this work was confirmed by letters coming to the Biblical House, as well as by distributors who could sell publication with great ease. A special area of work was the publishing of the newspaper Die Stimme, about 325,000 copies in Yiddish. Additionally, 665,000 tracts in Yiddish were distributed, and different Jewish newspapers published the sermon of Pastor Rasser in English with total circulation of over 107,000. Conclusion. Three facts deserve emphasis here. Die Stimme circulation was about 325,000 copies. Additionally, about 665,000 different tracts in Yiddish language. Also, different Jewish newspaper published the sermon of Brother Rasu in English with a total circulation of over 107,000. So the total number is over 1 million copies. This figure would have to be multiplied several times to get the actual number of the Jews who this literature reached. The literature reached entire families and also the Jewish communities. So, Brother Rasu published over 1 million pamphlets containing news for Jews. This was spread to Jews all over the world among the Jewish communities in Europe, and especially in Poland and Russia, encouraging them to return to their land to be part of God's plan. Before Brother Rasu, no Anglo-Jewish newspapers or the Yiddish press contained articles written by a Christian writer. Therefore, it seems correct to say that the periodical Die Stimme was a significant event in our movement in year 1911, which, as we have shown, contributed to refreshing the hope of the chosen people to fulfill the special role provided for them in the divine plan. So we can be glad that our community, our movement is doing the work of comforting this nation. And we fulfilled the command left and written down about 27 centuries ago by Prophet Isaiah, which reads, that's quotation from Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort, comfort, my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Amen.